Well, it was a long fertility journey. They wondered if they'd ever have the child that they had longed for and prayed for. And finally, yes, that child came, and it came, she came, through embryo adoption. Hi, I'm Mark Mellinger, Marketing and Development Director of the National Embryo Donation Center, and we are bringing you the Embryo Adoption Podcast. You can find out more at embryodonation.org. Again, that's embryodonation.org. The folks I was talking about happen to be my guests today, Philip and Tate Warren. They are an NEDC embryo adoption couple. And for those of you who are watching the video version of this, you are looking at the living proof that they got the answer. They got the miracle that they had long hoped for. And she is beautiful little Sawyer, just a few months old. She is their NEDC baby daughter. Man, so good to have you guys here. And by the way, those of you who are just listening, yeah, you can envision it in your mind's eye. She's got a great little bow wrapped around her head. How are you guys, Philip and Tate?
We're doing absolutely wonderful. Best time ever.
Well, let's start really a ways back. How difficult was your fertility journey? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. So we tried to get pregnant for about 3.5 to 4 years. We went to our local OB at first, and then after a year of trying, they end up sending us to a fertility doctor. We had it's okay.
That's all right. She's allowed to cry. No problem.
That little lip came out. We had unexplained infertility, so that was hard because there was no reason why we weren't getting pregnant. We ended up having a miscarriage during the fertility treatments, and there was no reason for the miscarriage. They were happy that I was able to get pregnant, so they said that was a good sign. But then we just kept trying. We did IUIs, we did letrozole, we did Clomid, and just nothing was working. So we were at that point that we had to decide what our next steps were.
And how emotionally taxing was that? I mean, you know, and you can tell you're a math teacher because you you really do explain it very linear, very, very matter of fact. And it really, both of you, the types of jobs that you're in, because Philip's in law enforcement, you sort of have to be that way, right? But talk about the emotional difficulty of those 3+ years.
So it was very emotionally draining. Because we never knew, we always knew we wanted kids. And then we just thought that, you know, I mean, when people talk about getting pregnant, people just make it seem like it's so easy and that you're going to get pregnant right away once you start trying. And that didn't happen. And that was kind of a shock for us because we just kind of thought, oh, we're going to get pregnant really fast and have a baby. And so it was very emotionally draining. It was very hard. All of our friends around us were getting pregnant and having babies. And a lot of them were surprise pregnancies. And while we were so thrilled for them, it was extremely hard for us. There was a lot of tears, especially at the end, after we had exhausted pretty much all our efforts and done the 3 IUIs. And we were at that point where we didn't know what we were going to do. I mean, there was a ton of tears and just not knowing what was going to happen next.
Philip, what were you thinking when you were sort of at the end of your rope there in terms of potential options at that point?
The hardest part for me was just seeing Tate hurt so bad and then knowing that there was really nothing I could do to make it stop. You know, we're strong Christians. We attend church regularly. So we just turned to prayer and, trusted that God had a plan for us. We just asked for him to kind of lay it on our hearts, what that plan was and what direction to go. Whether that was adoption through, you know, a private adoption, or going through, like with my work, going through the state and getting a kid that's been abused or neglected, doing some foster work. It just kind of like magic, God gave us our answer just through some mutual friends that reached out and said, "Hey, have you ever heard of this process?" And, we hadn't. And then once we heard, we knew that it just became very obvious that this was what God was telling us to do.
Yeah. What did you guys think when you first heard about the concept of embryo adoption, essentially becoming pregnant with your adopted child, a baby who is remaining from someone else's IVF?
So when I will be honest, when I first heard about it, a friend had that had done IVF told me about it. And I was like, I don't want to do that. I mean, that was my first thought. I don't want to do that. And she's like, no, it's really neat. I was like, yeah. I was like, that's not what we're going to do. And then a couple minutes later, honestly, I was talking to my youth pastor's wife and she mentioned it to me. And I was like, listen, somebody else just mentioned that and we don't want to do that. And then about 30 minutes later, my mom called and was like, hey, a lady that's in town reached out to us and she wants you to know about embryo adoption. And I was like, okay, God, I guess we're doing embryo adoption because 3 times in 24 hours, we're going to do it. So we had to do research about it because, I mean, we had no clue what it was.
Yeah. And I mean, it was tough because I guess, and you know this from being married, but, you know, men and women kind of have two different thought processes when it comes to these kinds of things. And of course, she was more of the emotional thinker on this. And I was more of the logical, you know, like dollars and cents and what gives us the greatest opportunity to walk away with a child, which is our ultimate goal. And seeing this and seeing that it was cost effective. It felt like it was what God was lending us to do. And it was a solution because obviously Tate wanted to experience pregnancy for herself. And I understood that. So it just seemed to check all the boxes that we had.
Well, and the return on investment ended up being, I mean, the proof's right there in your arms, right?
Yeah.
can't argue it at all.
Hey, talk about the process of going through the NEDC. I remember so clearly when you two were here for your initial visit and meeting you then, and then you were back for the transfer. And honestly, that's one of the things I love about this job is, you know, I sit across from a couple in a room and meet them for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And then a year later, or maybe even less, you know, they're sending us pictures of their baby. It's just, it's an amazing work to be a part of. But talk about the process. If somebody's thinking about going through with the NEDC, what is it like? What was the hardest part? What was the part that you thought was the best? Anything that you wish you would have paid more attention to and known at the outset?
So I'll tell you, when we first started talking about embryo adoption, before we had even just started to go to the NEDC, just the research I did, I felt like it was so much information and I was extremely nervous. I was hearing about lawyers and attorneys and this fee and that fee and having to get this paperwork and that paperwork. And it was overwhelming. And so once we heard about the NEDC, it was so nice and so easy because everything is planned out for you. It's a step-by-step process. I didn't have to worry about anything. I didn't have to worry about what paperwork I needed because it was taken care of for me. I didn't need to worry about my medical protocols because that was taken care of for me. I didn't need to worry about the consulting between us and her donor family because that was taken care. It was just the easiest. And that's why I've told other people I've talked to about the NEDC and embryo adoption is how easy of a process it was. I know there's other places you can go to do embryo adoption, but the NEDC just had everything so planned out, so straightforward. Every little detail was thought out. That's one reason we would always come back there is just because it was so, I didn't have to think. I didn't have to worry about anything. I mean, the best part obviously is the staff. You all are absolutely amazing.
Oh, thanks.
It was anytime I needed anything, somebody would message me right back or call me right back. I never had to worry about anything. If I couldn't get a hold of somebody, like let's say I couldn't get a hold of Linda because maybe it was transfer week, you would message me back. I mean, it was absolutely awesome. The doctors are amazing. The nurses are amazing. You're amazing. I mean, it was just the best process ever. I wish I would have paid more attention. I guess just to the whole transfer, I felt like I was so nervous and so just anxious. I kind of wish that I would just enjoyed it a little bit more. So I think that's something that if you're going through it, just really enjoy the process and really take it all in.
That seems like really, really good advice. What was running through your head, both of you, during the pregnancy and what was going through your mind when Sawyer finally arrived?
So I was a nervous wreck the whole entire pregnancy. I followed every myth that there ever possibly was that I should and shouldn't do. I drank no caffeine. I ate no hot dogs. I had no deli meat. I had no leftovers. I followed everything you could possibly follow that probably wasn't true. And I probably drove poor Linda absolutely crazy with my 9,000 emails a day. bless her heart. So I was a nervous wreck the whole entire pregnancy. I was, but at the same time, I just kept reminding myself, there's a reason we're pregnant, and no matter what the outcome is, God is going to get all the glory for it. And so we just kept saying that and reminding ourselves that in our head every time. And then once she was born, well, I had a C-section because she was breech, and I cried the entire C-section, like sobbed, where they almost had to take my oxygen out because I couldn't breathe because I was crying so hard. Because it was just the most amazing thing ever seeing her. I mean, I can't even put it into words how wonderful it is.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You can't put it into words, that moment when you first see your child. No. And yeah, and I, you know, I still, gosh, my kids are 21 and 19 now. And I still very vividly remember, you know, being in the room both times and what they looked like the very first time that I laid eyes on them. Philip, what was that moment like for you?
Well, I mean, I don't even really have words for it. Tate can tell you, when we were back in the delivery room, as soon as she delivered Sawyer,
he left me.
The nurse said, we're going to take her back to clean her. And she said, Dad, you can come back here. And that I was gone. And like, I don't know what they did to Tate from that point forward. But I was immediately just, my entire focus was on Sawyer. And like I said, I don't even want to try to describe it because words just wouldn't do it justice. I'd always heard everybody say, you know, you don't really know what love is until you hold your child for the first time. And I guess that's probably the best way to say it. It was just a whole different kind of love that I had ever experienced. And I still can't believe it's real.
It's amazing. I love hearing that. Tate, what did you want to say?
Oh, when after she was delivered, I turned around and I never saw him again. I don't know where he went. He just got up right and left. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you became chopped liver at that moment. Not really. Well, I'll tell you, I mean, it's just awesome. So, you know, Tate, you just had your first Mother's Day as a mom, and Philip, you're about to have your first Father's Day as a dad. Why don't both of you describe what Sawyer is like? I mean, she's sitting here, for those of you, again, just on the audio version, she's sitting here during this interview and just happy as a clam, sucking on her bottle. So she's obviously a fairly well-behaved little girl. But each of you, talk about what she's like and how she's changed your lives.
So I say this and people probably want to slap me, but she really is like the best baby ever.
She seems like it.
She is. She's happy. She's content. She has slept all night since she was a month old. We go to bed between 8 and 10 and we don't get up until between 7 and 9 the next morning. She eats about 7 ounces at a time of her bottle. So we're definitely a growing girl. But she loves to smile. She's trying to like coo and talk and laugh. She's been rolling from her belly to her back since she is about 2 weeks old consistently. And last night she rolled from her back to her belly. So it was just absolutely amazing. But no, she really is such a good little girl. My mom and my aunt keep her because I went back to work, unfortunately. So they've been keeping her during the day, which is wonderful. So I get videos of her, but they even talk about that. She's just really good and really content and a very easygoing baby.
Well, and you know, if you have another one, yeah, the terror is coming.
My mom said that. She's like, be pre-warned about that.
and I'll add that she is, it took a few weeks, but she is definitely a mama's girl.
She is.
Everybody talks about daddy's girl, but I haven't seen that yet.
Okay. So what do you mean?
She is very happy with me and smiling at me first thing in the morning. And she takes me in small doses. When mommy's gone, it can be a little rough. It can be a little emotional. But when mommy's here, I can be holding her the same exact way. But there's something about when she gets in her mom's arms and when she hears her mom's voice that just is instantly calming to her. And I know I'll have my time in the future, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I love seeing her and her mom have such a bond.
Well, you will have your time. I can tell you that. And I know Tate wants you to have that. But you're right. At this age, yeah, mama's always going to be number one. And it's just, man, it's so great to see the video of you guys there. Just love it. So But yeah, before we go, if you wanted to give one last sort of overarching thought to somebody who's thinking about doing embryo adoption, maybe they're considering other forms of adoption, which, by the way, we support all of them. You know, we support traditional, we support foster. There are kids who need families everywhere. But, you know, what would be sort of your parting shot to encourage them to seriously, prayerfully consider it?
Well, I honestly wish that we would have went straight for embryo adoption before even we knew we've had fertility problems, just because it's been such a blessing in our life. I think the overall thing that we like about it is that, I mean, with any adoption, you can have open or closed adoption, but we do have open adoption with her donors. And just knowing them and knowing their heart and knowing their love they have for her, and that they wanted her to have a life, and for us to be able to give her a life, is just an amazing experience. So I think the overall thing that people that may be considering embryo adoption is, I would definitely look into it. I would look into the NEDC. If you have any questions, reach out. But it's changed our life for the better, and we can't imagine it any other way, and we wouldn't have it any other way.
Philip, anything you'd add to that?
No, I think she said it perfectly. I mean, we couldn't imagine going a different route. This just seems completely normal to me now. And I can't wait to go back to get her sibling next year. But yeah, anyone who's on the fence about it, the process, don't get overwhelmed. Like Tate was talking about a while ago, it is a lot of information. And just accept the fact that, hey, it's a weird process. It is, but embrace the weird, and it's the greatest blessing that you'll ever have in life. And you're able to give life to a baby that would otherwise not have it. And I mean, how awesome is that?
That is exactly right. Exactly right. I mean, these are the tiniest lives when they're here mm-hmm. in our freezer, and look, they get a lot bigger a few months down the road, man. That's a great point on which to end this interview. My guests have been Tate and Philip Warren and their baby daughter, Sawyer, great NEDC family. And if you're interested in learning more about embryo adoption in the NEDC, you could do that by going to our website. It's embryodonation.org, embryodonation.org. I'm Mark Mellinger. I want to thank you for joining us for this edition of the Embryo Adoption Podcast.